Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Sukkah Daf Lamed Vav. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you're not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur begins three lines from the top of Daf Lamed Vav. Before we begin the actual Gemara, we have a brief topic heading, the Nosei that you see in the margin of your Gemara. It reads, Esroig Shenoilad Bo Simone Trefa. What are Simone Trefa? In animals, kosher variety animals that one slaughters to eat, one has to make sure that the organs, the inner organs, are intact. There are different imperfections, deficiencies, maladies that can render an animal unacceptable, and that on the grounds of it being a trefa. What constitutes trefa? So, for example, organs that have holes in them, certain organs that have holes in them. Certain organs that are cracked, and other types of problems. Many different types of problems could arise, rendering the animal a trefa. Details of that topic are found in Maseches Chulin, particularly in the third perek of Maseches Chulin, entitled Elu Trefas. The Gemara here is asking about signs of trefas that affect an esrog. Obviously, an esrog is something that one can eat no matter what its condition is, but what we're interested in is the use of the esrog for the mitzvah of lulav and esrog. What happens if the esrog develops characteristics that if it were an organ of an animal, it would render the animal a trefa? So we want to know those characteristics or those signs in an esrog. What effect does that have on the mitzvah of lulav and esrog? The Gemara, boy Rava, noldu be'esrog, and do note, by the way, that this is a long question followed by an answer that takes a number of lines to develop, and then following that you'll see a dechia, a rejection of what we're going to try to answer. So you have a question, an attempted answer, and then a rejection of the answer. So we could read the Gemara. Boy Rava, noldu be'esrog simoni trefa mahu. If there appear, noldu literally means born, but it means if there appears on an esrog signs that if it were an organ, it would be a trefa. What is the din with regard to the esrog and its use in the context of the mitzvah of lulav and esrog on Sukkos? The Gemara asks, "My komi bayalei? What is bothering Rava?" Now, there are different signs that would make an organ and an animal trefa, and those known signs, when you apply them to an esrog, we've already learned what the results are. So there's no room for Rava to even ask his question. E niklaf, if you're asking about an esrog that's peeled. Now, in the case of an animal, a living animal that's skinned, it's lost its outer skin. So that is a trefa. Now, if you're asking about niklaf, the skinning of an esrog, Tanina, we've already learned about that. E nistak, if you're asking about cracked, an esrog that's cracked. Now, in an animal, a cracked trachea, for example, would render it a trefa. So are you asking about a cracked esrog? Tanina, that information also we've learned in a Tanaic source. We learned that in our Mishnah. E nikev, and if you're asking about an esrog that has a puncture in it, a hole in it, tanina. And of course, a hole in the case of trefas would render the animal, if certain organs are punctured, they would become a trefa. So as far as an esrog is concerned, and the dinim of nikev tanino, that too we've learned in the Mishnah. So all the information that would be relevant to the simone trefa by an esrog is already covered in the Mishnah. So what is Rava asking about? The Gemara answers, ki ka mebayalei, that which Rava is asking, kide ula om Rav Yochanan, is based on that which ula om Rav Yochanan, in the name of Rav Yochanan, that which he teaches. And what does he teach? Rea, a lung. There is an illustration, by the way, in the Pirush Chai, the book of illustrations that we've been using since the beginning of this Masichta, illustration 591 on page 119. And the Pirush Chai has illustrations of a lung, and in this case we'll say an animal lung. And continuing in the Gemara, Re'a Shenishbecha Kekitoin Kshera, a lung of an animal, who's poured out like a flask, the animal is still kosher. The Omar Rava, and Rava says, if the lung has, the interior of the lung has decomposed, where the meat content of the lung has, as a result of decomposition, you could pour it out like liquid, the animal is still considered kosher. This is true provided the symphonim, you could see the inner tubes, the bronchial tubes of the lungs, are still intact. So even though the meat portion has decomposed and in effect become liquidy and you could pour it out, the animal is still considered kosher provided the inner tubes of the lung are still intact. Holo kaimi symphona trefa. If, as part of the decomposition, the tubes also, the bronchial tubes have decomposed, then the animal would be considered a trefa. That is as far as animal lungs are concerned. So what are we describing? We're describing a situation where the interior of the organ has decomposed, where the organ itself is intact. It's just that the interior of it has decomposed and the tubes remain intact. We've said that's kosher. Hochomai, what would be the din here by the esrog? In other words, the equivalent case of the esrog, what would the din be? And what is, by the way, the equivalent? That would be a case where the outer skin and rind of the esrog is still intact. However, the interior has decomposed, and the what Rashi calls the chadre zera, where the section where the seeds are found, would be the equivalent of the bronchial tubes in the lungs. Those chadre zera, those seed chambers, are still intact. Again, an esrog whose interior has decomposed and spilled out, the seed chambers remaining intact, what is the din? So there are two sides of the analysis. That's why we have this labeled as Aleph, and then a couple lines later a squiggle underline Oidilma at the end of the line, Beis, second possibility. So the first possibility, Dilma, it could be that there is reason for a distinction. Hossam, in the case of the lung, who Dolo shalit bo avira hodar bori. Of course, we're dealing with a lung after you slaughtered the animal, took out the lung, and you're investigating it. But that same lung, while the animal was alive, was contained within the interior of the animal. It wasn't exposed to the avir, to external elements. And as such, it had a possibility of healing, of getting better. Hoder bori means getting healthy again. Avol hocha, but in the case of the esrog, with the parallel characteristics, the sholit bo avira, however, the esrog is something that's totally external and subject to the elements. Sruchi masruchis, it will only decompose further, and therefore under those circumstances, whereas the animal you might have declared kosher, the esrog isn't necessarily acceptable. Or maybe we make no distinction. And just like in the case of the lungs, the animal would still be kosher, the esrog, experiencing similar circumstances, would be acceptable for the mitzvah. Toshma. So at this point, there's an attempt to answer the question, and it takes a number of lines to develop. We quote a Tanaic source, and then the Gemara's supposed understanding of the source. And then the Gemara will reject that which we are saying. We should point out that there is a lot of information in this Tanaic source. We're interested only in the first three words of the source, especially the dashed underlined words, Tafuach and Saruach. The balance of the source will be dealt with by the Gemara afterwards. So at this point, we know what to focus on. So the Gemara says, Toshma Esrog Tafuach Saruach, Kovush, Shaluk, Kushi, Lavan, Umenumar, Pasol. All of these are different phenomena that would render the Esrog unfit. Tafuch and Soruch we will have to focus on right after the source, because this is what is going to be of relevance to our discussion. The other points mentioned, Kovush is something that was, I'd say, a pickled Esrog, Shaluk, a boiled Esrog, Kushi, a black one, Lavan, a white one, Umenumar, a spotted one. All of these are Pasol. Esrog kikadur posel. There's an illustration 592 where an esrog has the shape of a ball. It's unfit. The Eshomrim af hatium. The illustration 594 shows what that is. The type of two esrogim that are clinging together. Esrog habosar. It's very small. It's not fully developed. Rabbi Kiva posel v'chachomim machshirin. We've seen this earlier in the Masichta, where you have a machlokas Rabbi Kiva and chachomim on that. We will see more about that later. Godloi betfus, illustration 595, an esrog that is growing, developing in a mold. V'aso kemin brio acheres posel. And if you look in illustration 595, the Aleph illustration, where as that esrog matures, it'll fill the mold, but the shape that it will take is not the standard esrog shape. That's a briacher, so it's unfit. Kotoni mias, it however says in this source, tafuach suruch, my love, tafuach equals mibachutz. Rashi has a French word that is similar to the English word inflated. It's bloated. The type of Rashi says shenifchas v'nirkav mibachutz. It shows signs of rotting from the outside. And saruach mibefnim. And we've dashed underlined this because this is what's directly relevant to our discussion. Saruch means it's rotting from within. That means the outer shell is intact. And that would be like the case of the reo shenishpacha kiketon, like the lung whose interior has decomposed and spills out. So what does it say in the source regarding saruch? It says that saruch is posel. So that would answer the question. Gemara says, loy, idi v'idi mibachutz. These two phenomena of tafuch and saruch are both exterior phenomena. One is a case where it inflated, it bloated, even though it hasn't decomposed. The other example is one of decomposing or rotting from the outside without any bloating or inflating. So we don't have an answer to the original question, Rava's original question of the Noldable Simoni Trefunet and Esrog, what would the din be? And again, that's the case of the Esrog interior decomposing, and the seed chambers remaining intact. Omar Mar. Now, the Gemara continues to explain the details in the source that we just read, and it will do so in a consistent fashion, in an orderly fashion. So, the next thing after we saw in the source, you had Tafuach Suruch, and shortly thereafter you saw Kushi. Esrog Kushi, posel. The Gemara asks, V'hotanya Kushi, kosher, doime lekushi posel. If you focus on the dashed underlining, you'll see the problem, the contradiction. Because in the source above, we saw the kushi is posel, and here it says kushi is kosher. We explained earlier that kushi has to do with a black esrog. Omar Abaye. Abaye explains, ki tnan nami masnisin doime lekushi tnan. The Mishnah that said esrog kushi posel, it was really referring to what we call doime lekushi. We haven't explained what these things are yet. We'll do so through the Rashi shortly. Rava Omar lo kasha. Rava says there's no contradiction between the two sources. Ha'olon v'ha'olahu. Kushi posel would be a kushi esrog here where we are, not in the land of Kush. There's a country called Kush. Ha'olahu, for people that live in Kush, an esrog kushi will be acceptable. In order to appreciate this section of Gemara, it's necessary to learn the Rashi. The Rashi we start with is at this last narrow line, doime lekushi, shegodel kan varehu shochor. It grows here. Here means in Bovel. Or we have to emphasize, not in the land of Kush, could be growing here in Israel. And it's black. So that, the Gemara says, is unacceptable. Puzzle. Why? Shenidmehu. And now a very interesting French word that we can relate to in English as well. Counterfeit. It looks like an authentic black esrog from the land of Kush, but it's not from the land of Kush. It's growing here. It's growing in Bovel. It's growing in Eretz Yisrael. So it's a type of fake in that sense. Avo Kushi atzmoi, but a real black esrog. Hainu tam de kosher de urchehu. That's normal. It's normal in the land of Kush, it is normal to have black esrogim growing. So the psul of Nidme, as Rashi said before, doime lekushi, it's godel kan, it's growing here, it's not growing in the land of Kush. Holon v'holuhu. Now, Rashi here is explaining what Rava's answer was. The distinction is as follows. Le'olam masnisin kushi nami posel. Our Mishnah that says kushi is posel is not referring to what's called a doime lekushi, but it's referring to a real kushi esrog, filo kashya. Masnisin, the Mishnah that posels, that renders unfit, disqualifies, levnei Eretz Yisrael, shirachoykin meretz kush, ve'enam regilim bohem. So according to Rava, it would seem that if you had an authentic kushi esrog that grew in the land of Kush, but it was brought to Eretz Yisrael, it would not be kosher. Braisa livnei bovel shekroivim lekush uregilim bohem. The braisa that says that the kushi is kosher is a reference to the land of Bovel. This is different than the way we explained before, but it's a land that's close to the land of Kush. And it's common to have black esrogim. Umikomakom begodel kan v'doime lekushi nidmehu uposel. However, something that grows here and looks like a black esrog is not acceptable as posel. What would appear to be the difference between Rava and Abaye is, according to Abaye, if you had in Eretz Yisrael, for example, an esrog that grew in Kush, was an authentic black esrog growing in the authentic land for that to happen, that would be okay. That would be according to Abaye. According to Rava, an authentic black esrog being used in Eretz Yisrael would not be acceptable. Let us continue in the Gemara. Esrog HaBoisar, the undeveloped esrog, it's small. It's Bosar is a certain stage of development of fruits. There's something that's even earlier than that, which we call that, we call it Chanota. It's a state where it's blossoming. Bosar, and there's something called Smodar and Bosar, different terms indicating different levels of fruit development. Bosar is not fully ripe. That much we can say. It's premature. Rashi says, Rashi's pshat is koton kipul halovon. It's the size of a small bean. Tosfos disagrees with that pshat. But nevertheless, it's something small. Rabbi Kiva posel v'chachomim machshirin. So that we saw earlier, the machlokes tanoim on that point. Omar Rabo, Rabbi Kiva, Rabbi Shimon Amru Dover Echad. Now, we should note, by way of markings, on the side of the Gemara, we have a mivneh, a structural note, and actually, before the structural note, we should read the nosei, the topic heading, Esroig Koton, Lo Boshel, it's not ripe. Legabi Sukkis, that's one topic we'll deal with, and Legabi Hafroshes Trumas Amaisres, regarding the obligation to tithe fruits, and particularly an esrog, at this small level of development. Rabbah is featured with a double underline after we note the diamonds highlight the names Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Shimon. Rabbah, in our note we've written, Sover, Rabbah is of the opinion, to Rabbi Kiva, Be'esrog, Shel Sukkis, Rabbi Shimon, Be'esrog, Be'hafroshes, Omru Dover Echad, that they say the same thing. They agree on a particular point. Abaye, who we also double underline in contrast to Rabbah, in contrast to Rabbah, Abaye disagrees. He's doche. He rejects the parallel that Rabbah tried to establish between Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Shimon. You'll notice by way of markings in the Gemara, when Abaye is rejecting Rabbah, it's a point that is a long point that lasts till the very top of the of Amud Beis. Now that the sugya is mapped out, and we saw the quote concerning the Esrog HaBoisar, Rabbi Kiva says it's unfit for the mitzvah of Lulav and Esrog. Rabbah says, Rabbi Kiva, Rabbi Shimon, Amru Dover Echad, that these two Tanoim say the same thing. They accept a common theme. Rabbi Kiva Hadamon, we already stated Rabbi Kiva, the small Esrog is not acceptable for the mitzvah of Lulav and Esrog. Rabbi Shimon Mahi, what's the reference that Rabbah is making to when he says Rabbi Shimon says the same as Rabbi Kiva? This not, we have a Tanaic source that deals with tithing. Rabbi Shimon Poter Eso Esrogim Bekoitnon. Rabbi Shimon exempts the need to tithe Esrogim when they are still very small. When we say kotnon, we'll assume that the size of bosar. So it would seem that there's a parallel, that just like the esrog of bosar is not called a pre for the mitzvah of lulav and esrog, the pasuk says ulakachtem lochem pre eitz hadar. So it has to be considered a pre before it can be taken. Rabbi Kiva is saying if it's too small, it's not. It doesn't constitute a pre. Rabbi Shimon, when it comes to tithing, the halachas of tithing are dependent on something being classified as a pre. And therefore, if it's small, it doesn't fulfill that requirement. And therefore, you're not chayiv, you're not obligated to tithe it. So both agree that an esrog, that small, isn't classified as a pri. That's what would appear right now. However, Amar le Abaye. Abaye reacts to Rabbah, who tried to parallel Rabbi Akiva with Rabbi Shimon. Abaye says, Dilma lohi, maybe not so. Maybe they're not parallel. Ad kan lo kama Rabbi Akiva hacha. It could be that till now, Rabbi Akiva is saying that the small one is unfit for the mitzvah of lulav and esrog, deboinun hodor v'leka. It has to be something that's pleasant, that's nice looking. And an esrog that's boiser is not hodor. It's not nice looking. Avol hasam, but in the case of tithing, kirabonon svirole. Maybe Rabbi Shimon adopts the opinion of the rabbonon that obligate small, underdeveloped fruits in to be tithed. Inami ad kan lo koma Rabbi Shimon hasam ukui, that Rabbi Shimon might have said his din that the small esrog is exempt from tithing, elo dechtiv aser taser es kol tu azarocha. Now that pasuk is coming from the topic of tithing, and it says kol tu azarocha, and the drusha on that is kederech shebnei adam moitzim lizria. That which you're tithing is from fruit, from vegetation that has reached a sufficient level of maturity that you could replant it and things would grow. That is only if it's a ripe fruit, as opposed to the esrog habosar. It doesn't, if you were to try to plant it, plant the seeds, it wouldn't grow. So that's why Rabbi Shimon will pater esrogim from maisers, because they can't be replanted and grow. Avol hocha, but in the case of sukkis and the lulav and esrog, that's small, the small esrog, kirabonon svira lei. It could be that Rabbi Shimon adopts the opinion of the rabbonon who argued with Rabbi Kiva and say that the boiser size esrog is kosher. The Gemara continues at the top of Amud Beis, v'su lo midi, and there's nothing further to analyze here. And basically, the Gemara is concluding, like Abaye's rejection, that Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Kiva are not in agreement with one another. Rabbi Akiva spoke about the realm of mitzvahs lulav and esrog on Sukkos. Rabbi Shimon speaks about the realm of tithing, but when it comes to what each one would say regarding the other one's topic, they wouldn't see eye to eye. On Omid Aleph, we saw this from the Tanaic source, Godlo Betfus Vasokimin Brio Acheres Posel, an esrog that grew in a mold, and it turned out to be like a different entity, a different creature, literally, a non-esrog-shaped esrog, because it grew in a mold, so it's unfit. Omar Rovo, loishonu elo kimin briacheres. That growing in a mold renders it unfit is only if it grows, it develops, looking like a different type of fruit. Shape-wise, looks totally different. Avo kibrioso kosher. However, if you had the esrog growing in a mold, and the mold was the shape of a standard adult size esrog. So, as you can see in illustration 595 bays of the Pirush Chai, that mold would lead to what you see in the picture is a small esrog that's growing and expanding in a mold. But in 595 bays, when it finally develops and fills the mold, it looks like it has the shape of a regular esrog. So what is Rava doing here? Rava is telling us that the Mishnah that passed the Godlo Betfus growing in a mold is only when it comes out looking like something else. The Gemara says Pshita, Kemin Bria Achas Acheres Tanya. In the Brisa, it said Kemin Bria Achas, if it looks like something else, it'll be unfit. What does Rava add to us, to our understanding that wasn't already obvious in the source? The Gemara answers, Lo Tzricha. In fact, I need Rava. And the diuk that we made was that the psul is only if it's bria cheres, but if it's in its normal shape, it'll be kosher. So I need the diuk of that which we said kibriyah. So it's kosher. The avida dapi dapi. The illustration 596 is very helpful. Rashi makes an allusion to a water wheel, and you can see in the Pirush Chai how many he has different illustrations to make the point. But if it grows in a mold looking like that, that's still considered kibriyoso and hence kosher. On the side, we have a new topic heading, the Nosei Esrog Shenafu Achborim. The topic heading reads, an Esrog that was penetrated, pierced by mice. So, a mouse bit into an Esrog. Under the Mivneh heading, you can see we have featured Roman numerals 1 and 2. These are Shnei Lishonos Hafuchos, B'divrei Rav. There are two opposite versions of what Rav said, Be'esroig Shenikvu Achaborim Im Huadayin Nechshev Hodor. Is it still considered Hodor? And if you require the Esrog to be Hodor, so that is important. It's important to know whether bitten into by mice would ruin the Hodor status. When we say Hodor, of course, we're making reference to the Pasuk that says, L'kachtem lechem b'yom rishon pre-eitz Hodor, a reference to the Esrog. And when we speak about Hodor in a simple Hodor sense, it means a nice-looking Esrog. So now the Gemara. Itmar, Esrog shenogvu achborim. An Esrog that was bitten into by mice. Omar Rova Ein Ze Hodor. That ruins its Hodor status. The Gemara asks, Eini, is that so? Faha Rabbi Chanina Matbil Ba Finofik Ba. Rabbi Chanina would matbil dip it in. Dipping in is the way people ate their food. They would dip into different kinds of condiments or dips. And Rabbi Chanina himself dipped his esrog into some kind of dip, took a bite out of it, and then used the remaining esrog for his mitzvah. So apparently, it's not like Rav. Rabbi Chanina's ruling is not like Rav. The Gemara has a bracket. We put a bracket marking here. Skip the brackets initially. Omar Loch Rav, Shaini Achborim Demi'isi. Rav says there's a difference between the case I'm dealing with, the Esrog bitten into by mice, versus Rabbi Chanina. Rabbi Chanina was a person, and his biting into it doesn't make it mi'isi. Mi'isi means disgusting. So the achborim biting is a problem of mo'os. Interesting, the word mo'os, if you look at the word mouse and read it in a phonetic fashion, M-O-U-S-E, you get something that looks very much like the Hebrew ma'us. So as far as Rav is concerned, the biting is not mevatel the hodar. It's just that if it's a mouse that bites into it, it makes it disgusting. Let's go back over the bracketed section of Gemara. Just before the brackets, we asked on Rav from Rabbi Chanina's practice. And the Gemara had said, in the brackets, the Gemara questions Rabbi Chanina, his own practice, in light of the Mishnah. The Gemara asks, in the brackets, Ulu Rabbi Chanina, Kashi Mas Nisan, is it not so that the Mishnah is a problem for Rabbi Chanina? Because the Mishnah said that Nikev V'choser Kol Shehu is posel. Rabbi Chanina bit into his esrog, that's obviously choser, and he still used it for his mitzvah. The Gemara explains, Bishlamo Masnisan Rabbi Chanina Lo Kashia. The Mishnah and Rabbi Chanina are not at odds with one another. Kan b'yom tov rishon, kan b'yom tov sheni. Yom tov rishon, the first day of Sukkot. So it says in the pasuk l'tachtem lochem, and we darshan word l'tachtem l'kicha toma, complete. That the esrog that you're using must be complete. On Yom Tov Sheni, well, you don't have that requirement of ulakachtem, of it being complete. Because the Pasuk says ulakachtem lochem b'yom ha-rishon, the first day. But Yom Tov Sheni, the second day, that is when Rabbi Chanina dipped his esrog and took a bite out of it. Elo, l'rav kasha. However, according to Rav, Rabbi Chanina presents a difficulty. What happened? Rav spoke about an esrog that was bit into by mice, and he says it's not hodar. And there we saw, then we saw Rabbi Chanina biting out of an esrog and using it for the mitzvah. So the Gemara answers, Omar loch Rav. Rav will tell you, Shaini achborim demi'isi. In general, a person biting into it doesn't ruin the hodar status. It's just that the mice biting into it make it most, make it disgusting and hence not fit for mitzvah use. Ika v'amri, another version. Omar Rav, ze hodar. An esrog bit into by mice does not ruin its hodar status. And proof to that is the whole Rabbi Chanina, Matbilbo, Venofikbo. Rabbi Chanina used to dip his esrog into some dip and take a bite out of it and then use it for the mitzvah. So in both cases, you have an esrog bit into, and Rav says it's still hodar. That's very much like Rabbi Chanina, who used it after he took a bite out of it. The Gemara asks, Ulu Rabbi Chanina, Kashya Mas Nisan. Is not the Mishnah a problem for Rabbi Chanina? The Mishnah says that Nike V'choser Kol Shehu is posel. And here Rabbi Chanina was using an esrog that he bit out of. It's choser. So how can he be Yotze with it? So we answer, Lo Kashya, there's no problem. Kan B'Yom Tov Rishon, Kan B'Yom Tov Sheni. On Yom Tov Rishon, so that's what the Mishnah was talking about, that the Nike V'choser Kol Shehu is posel. Rabbi Chanina was not talking about the first day of Yom Tov. The Mishnah said, on the Mishnah from Lamed Vav Amud Beis, Esro Koton, Rabbi Meir Omer Ke'egois, Rabbi Yehuda Omer Kebeitza. The Gemara points out, Omar Rafron Bar Popo, Kemachloikis Kan, just like you have a Machloikis between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda, one citing an Egos, the other citing a Beitza, Kach Machloikis Bavonim Mekuzolos. We have a parallel Machloikis when it comes to the stones that were used for hygienic purposes after one relieves himself from solid waste and he has to clean himself. Now, what we're talking about a time period when toilet paper, pardon us, was not part of the standard home use. What they did use were stones that were shaped, that had the shape that made it easy to cleanse oneself. On Shabbos, in general, moving stones around is osur midin muktzah. However, stones that are needed for cleanliness, they have a different status. So the Tanaic source says as follows: Desanya b'Shabbos sholosh avonim mekurzolos mutar lachnas lebeis hakisei. On Shabbos, a person is entitled to carry into a bathroom facility three stones that are shaped. The mekuzolos is a reference to the shape that is fit for the this particular use. The kama shiuran, what is their size, the size of the stones? Rebbe Meir Omer Ke'egois, Rebbe Yehuda Omer Ke'beitza. And as the Gemara pointed out, you see the same shiurim with the same names, both in the context of the minimum size esrog and the size of the stones. Ubegodol Kadesh Yochaz V'chule, we saw a machlokes concerning the maximum size esrog. Tanya Om Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi was very lenient and said that you can have an esrog that's so large that you need two hands to carry it. So Rabbi Yossi says, Maisib Rabbi Kiva, Shebol the Beis HaKnesses. An incident, a story took place where Rabbi Kiva came to the shul, Vesrogu Al Ksefo, and he was carrying his esrog on his shoulder because of its size, very large size. Omar Lo, Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda reacts to Rabbi Yossi and says, Misham Raya, are you trying to bring proof from there? Afheim Omrulo Ein Zehodar. They reacted to Rabbi Kiva and said, this is an esrog that lacks the hodar characteristic. The Mishnah. Ein Oigdim Es Halulov Ela Bamino. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda, whom we've seen quite often in this Masicht already, he says that lulav tzarech eged, the lulav needs to be bound together, and he adds that when binding it together, the material that used for tying it must be mino, means material that comes from any one of the four plants that that are used in the mitzvah. So that if you have, let's say, a piece of lulav, of palm leaf, or a myrtle branch, or a willow, an arova branch that you use to tie around your esrog, your lulav, that is, to bind the three minim together, the lulav, hadasim, and arovas. So the Mishnah says, if it's one of those varieties, then it's kosher, according to Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Meir Omer, afilu b'chut b'meshicha, there's a Gerson Rashi that b'chut shel meshicha, you can use even any thread for tying together the minim. Om Rabbi Meir, Maisiban Shushalayim, show you Oigdim Esulfayim, Begimonios Shazov. Rabbi Meir says that in Yerushalayim, they would tie their lulavim together with golden threads. Omru Lo, the Rabbonon who disagree with Rabbi Meir said back to him, "Bemino hoyu oydin oisoi milamata." The golden threads were only a superficial tying. Underneath them was the formal tying of the minim together. But otherwise, you couldn't rely on gold threads alone. There's an illustration in the Pirush Chai, illustration 598, and if you study the illustration, you can see the different points mentioned in the Gemara. The Gemara continues, and before we do so, we glance at the side. The topic heading, Shitas Rabbi Yehuda, the opinion of Dein Oydin Halulov Elobamino, that the binding of Lulav is done only with its own type material. One of the, you can use only, let's say, palm leaves or palm fibers for tying the lulav together, as opposed to a rubber band or some foreign material that's not one of the species used for the mitzvah. Under the mivneh heading, the structural note, a triangle is featured, and we note memros shel rava benosei hanal. These are comments of rava that have relevance to the topic we just mentioned. So let's see the three comments of Rava. Omar Rava, Afilu Besiv, Afilu Beikra de Dikla. Illustrations 599 and 601 convey the point. And Rava is saying that you can use even the sieve. This is a type of network fiber that grows on the inside of the bark of a palm tree, but it's part of the palm tree. So you can use the sieve for tying the minim together. And a few be'ikra d'dikla is material taken from the trunk of the tree. The Omar Rava, my time of Rabbi Huda. Rabbi Huda was of the opinion that Eino Dinasluv El Bamino. What's his basis for that restriction? Kosovar Lulov Tzorach Eged. Rabbi Huda, Rava tells us, is of the opinion that the lulav must be bound together, so that part of the mitzvah of lulav is having the other minim tied together with the lulav. If you are going to bring some other kind of material, you'll bring some oak branches or whatever, some other material. Have chamisha mini. So let's read that line again. The maisi minach, if you're going to bring some other variety of plant or whatever substance to tie the lulav together, and it's not of the four, it's not one of the four mitzvah species, so it then would be chamisha mini. You're using five varieties for the mitzvah, four in their regular plant vegetation form, and the fifth is the foreign material that you're using to tie them together. And the Torah basically says bring four varieties and not some foreign substance. The Omar Rava, Mino Amino La, the Siv Ikra de Dikla, Mino de Luva Hu. From where do I know that the sieve, this network, screen-like network found in the inside of palm trees, is the sieve, and the ikra de dikla is that which is growing on the trunk of the tree, are considered minim of the lulav. So that we know the lulav comes from a palm tree. How about these other substances that come from the palm tree? How do we know they're considered relevant to the lulav? Mina de lulav. The Gemara answers, and you'll note that this is a long answer. It basically takes in a long Tanaic source with a conclusion at the end. So, from where do we know that the sieve and ikra d'dikla are considered is considered lulav material? The Sanya, the pasuk says basukos teshvu sukkah shel kol davar. The Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir tells us that the sukkah can be made of any material. The schach can be any type of material. Any type of material, of course, it has to grow from the ground and not mekabel tuma, but you're not limited to the four species used for the mitzvah. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, ein sukkah leheges, and the word sukkah is a reference to schach, is acceptable, elo bedaled minim shibululav. It's schach that comes from the four species that we use for the mitzvah. So if you have esrog tree branches or aravois or hadasim and you cover your sukkah with that, that will be kosher. It's acceptable. Otherwise, it's not acceptable. You can see that we have a long bracketed section. If we skip the brackets, and this will be very helpful, we come to a point in the Gemara. It says Utnan Mesachachim b'Nesorim Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. There's a piece of information that you have to know before understanding this Gemara, and that is Nesorim, those are boards, and Nesorim come from the Ikra D'Dikla, from the trunk of the Dekel. What do we see? We see the boards that come from the trunk of the Dekel being used for schach, according to Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda was, we pointed out before, he was a restrictive opinion. But he's saying you can use the nesorim, which come from the ikra d'dikla, as schach. There's an arrow that we have pointing to lamed vov amid beis. If you use that arrow at the bottom section of Lamed Vav Amid Beis, the source had read Ein Sukeneges Elabedalid Minim Shebelulav. Schach, according to Rabbi Huda, has to be from one of the four minim of the lulav. So, focusing on Rabbi Huda, and make the proper equation. Schach must come from lulav-related material. Schach, according to Rabbi Huda, can be nesorim. Nesorim come from the trunk of the tree. What do we see? Almos, siv, the Gemara continues, almos, siv, ikra de dikla, mina de lulvahu, shma mina. We must therefore conclude that the siv and the ikra de dikla is considered lulav material. And as a result of it being lulav material, so you can use it, you can use the ikra de dikla, the siv, for tying together the minim, and it's not considered an outside substance. Now, we have a bracketed section that we skipped, so let's go back over that. Rabbi Yehuda said that schach comes only from the four species that are used in the mitzvah of lulav. In the brackets, v'hadin noisein, logic would tell us thusly, u'ma lulav she'noheg b'leilos k'biyamim. Mind you, lulav, which is binding, which is practiced only by day and not by night, so it has a certain element of leniency in that it's not always present. Eino noheg elo barboas minim. Nevertheless, there is a restriction. You have called a lenient realm of halacha with a restriction, namely that the mitzvah of lulav applies only with the four varieties the Torah mentions. Sukkah shenehegis lesvigamim, sukkah which is more restrictive than lulav, in the sense that sukkah is binding by day and by night. Eino din shelotehe elo barboas minim, all the more so it should be restricted, sukkah the schach, which is the mainstay of the sukkah, should be restricted to the four species. Omru loy. So the Rabbonin said back to Rabbi Yehuda, and they said, "Kol din sha'ata don chiloso lahachmir v'sofa lahokel." Any logic that you apply, kal v'chomer, if any use of kal v'chomer logic, which begins with something chomor and ends up as something with which you begin sounding as if you're being machmir, you're being restrictive, but the end is in fact a massive leniency, ein odin. And the Brisa explains itself. What do we mean by that? That at first it sounds restrictive, and at the end it turns out to be a massive leniency. Lo motzar boas minim, according to Rabbi Yehuda, let's say someone who's making a sukkah can't find material for schach coming from the four species, yehei, yoshev, ubotel. He's going to be sitting without the mitzvah of sukkah. He's going to be exempt from the mitzvah of sukkah. And the Torah says you shall sit in sukkahs for 7 days. Sukkah shall kol davar. Sukkah made of any material. And this, of course, is those who are arguing with Rabbi Yehuda are pressing their point that the schach is not limited. Because if you're going to limit the schach to the four species, what's going to happen with someone that doesn't find schach of those limited four species? So he's not going to have the mitzvah of sukkah to do. And that can't be. V'chein be'ezra omer, and likewise in the book of Ezra you find the following. Tzu ha'har v'viu ale zayas v'ale etz shemen v'ale hodos v'ale tmorim v'ale etz ovois la'asois sukkos Kakosuv. Ezra says to the people, go out and gather, and all kinds of materials are mentioned. You see, ale zayas are olive leaves or olive branches, ale et shemen, some type of tree called et shemen. Now, these are not from the four species used for the mitzvah of lulav and esrog. And yet, what do we see? We see the sukkah is, they're constructing sukkahs, as it says in the pasuk, laso sukkahs, they're constructing sukkahs using non-four variety, four species substances. They're using olive branches for covering the sukkah. So you see, as we said before, this is to negate Shitas Rebbe Yehuda. We had read already the final line of our framed section, Utnan Misachim Minasarim Devrei Rebbe Yehuda. Rebbe Yehuda, who said Tzchach must come from one of the four species, also says you can Misachich with Nesorim. And Nesorim are beams or boards, and they come from the Ikra Dedik, they come from the trunk of the Dekel tree. So you have trunk of Dekel tree being used for Tzchach. That's a simen that Ikra Dedikla is one of the four, is considered one of the four minim used for lulav and esrog. It comes from the same tree that the lulav comes from. Almos sivikra de dikla mina de lulvahu shma mina. So we conclude that they are considered lulav species and therefore kosher for tying together. And all of this was brought in to show how Rava knows that Siv and Ikra Dedikla are considered minim of the lulav. And just to repeat ourselves, all of this has relevance to what material you can use to tie your lulav and the Hadassah Marvus together. And according to Shitas Rebbe Yehuda, it has relevance to what you can use for Schach. The Gemara asks a question. Umi Omar Rabbi Yehuda, Arboas Minim in Midachrin Alo. Does Rabbi Yehuda really hold that only material comes from one of the four species is kosher for schach and not any other kind of wood? V'hot Tanya, we have the following Tanaic source which deals with schach. It says Sichicho b'nesorim shel erez. If he covered his sukkah with erez boards, Sheish b'endal etvochem devarkol psula. If they're four tefachim wide, so everyone would agree that it's an unfit schach. Abraham Dalet tefachim, if the boards don't have four tefachim of width, Rabbi Meir Posel, Rabbi Yehuda Machshir. That's the end of the. That then we have a bracketed section. Umodi Rabbi Meir, Shim Yesh, Bein Neser, Leneser, Kmelo Neser, Shimnech, Psal, Benam, Shera. This is not directly relevant to our discussion right now, but this is something we've seen also earlier in the Masichta, and that Rebbe Meir will concede that even though boards of four tefachim are not acceptable, if you leave a gap between each board of four tefachim, the gap being the equal to the size of the neser, so and you fill up the gaps with schach, it'll be kosher. We're not going to say any more about that. That has been discussed earlier in the Masifta quite extensively. However, for our purposes, what do we see in the question? We see that Erez was used for covering the sukkah, and Rabbi Yehuda is allowing that. My Erez, the Gemara responds, you know what Erez is? Hadas. Erez, in fact, is one of the four species kosher for the mitzvah of lulav. It's the same, it is one and the same as Hadas. Kidurabu Barav Huna, the Omarabu Barav Huna, Amri Bey Rav, as was quoted in the name of the Yeshiva of Rav, Asora Mine Arozin Hain. There are 10 varieties of Erez. Shinemar etain b'midbor eretz shito v'hadas v'chule. This posuk serves our needs by focusing on the juxtaposition of eretz and hadas. They are found together, so that we can conclude that the hadas is a, or that eretz is a form of hadas, and therefore it is one of the four varieties, and therefore the kasha that the Gemara asked on Shitas Rebbe Yehuda is no kasha. the source that had said Sichah ben Nesorim shel Erez, in fact, Erez is like, it's like saying Sichah ben Nesorim shel Hadas, when that's obviously one of the four varieties of the mitzvah of the Arba Saminim, and therefore, according to Reb Yehuda, it's acceptable as Schach. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.